11. And I will continue the basics of rightly dividing and talk to you about, last week we dealt with some prayer, and I believe prayer is dispensational. I don't believe God's going to answer any prayers anybody prays if they're claiming promises that he never made to you as a member of the body of Christ. And there's a reason why that the Lord put certain things in there, and I want us to look at some of the things, and then we'll go on. And I went over a lot of this last week, and I'm not going to go over too much this week, but in Luke chapter 11, notice verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he tells them, they come to him and they want to know how to pray. Verse 2, and he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now look over in Mark, and notice how Mark presents it. Mark, chapter 11. Notice in verse, I'm just going to begin in verse 22. And Jesus answered, said unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Well, you know, folks, that don't happen to you today. And I guarantee you, if you was honest and I was honest and everybody opened their heart, there's been multitudes of things that you've asked the Lord for and you didn't get. Now come on, be honest. He never promised that. Look what he said, verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Well, I want you to hang on right there, and we're going to read verse 26 again. I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 2 and look in Colossians chapter 2 for a moment. Now this is just basic stuff. Simple stuff. Would they get their sin, trespasses forgiven? How was they to get forgiveness? Now I have a terrible throat problem, so I'll just have to bear with me coughing. Jeannie says I sound like a walker off of Walking Dead, you know. I wheeze, all that stuff. But anyway, look at verse 26 again. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. If you don't forgive, will God forgive you? Or what happens if God doesn't forgive you? What's the wages of sin? It's death. will you pay for it? If God don't forgive you, will you pay for it? You're going to get paid for it somewhere. Somebody's got to pay for it. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of the preacher. Preacher's not even in the verse, is it? There ain't no water in that verse. Let's read it. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. Well, if you're risen with him, you had to die with him, right? That's a baptism of death, is spiritually, judicially. You died at Calvary. You that trusted Christ as your Savior, in AD 33, God saw you on the cross. God poured his wrath, he judged you, he penalized you, he brought his judgment against you, he condemned you, he made you a curse. And he had to do something to get you out of the tomb. You say, well, he did that to Christ. You were in Christ. Now look. Buried with him. With who? Christ. In baptism, wherein also you're risen with him, Christ, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, with Christ. Or to quicken something is to be regenerate. It's life, brought back to life. Quickened with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Has God forgave you that are members of the body of Christ all trespasses? What if you got some, if you hold a grudge against somebody and you won't forgive them, they trespassed against you, your rights, you don't forgive them. What about your trespasses? Are they still forgiven? It hasn't got nothing to do with you. That's the thing about salvation, folks. Salvation has nothing to do with you. It was all provided for you. It was all done for you. The work was done in your behalf. All you do is receive it. You just count it so for me. You're already forgiven of all trespasses. It don't matter what I forgive you or not. What I do to you, it ain't got nothing to do with nothing. I am forgiven based upon Jesus Christ going to a cross and dying on that cross for my sins. That's why I'm forgiven. Has nothing to do with me. Now back in the passage, he said, teach us to pray. Come over to Romans chapter 8. Did the Lord teach them to pray? Well, he told them what to say, didn't he? Look in Romans chapter 8, likewise verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us, which with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Now I want you to notice something. Do we know what to pray for as we ought? No. Why? Because of the infirmity of our flesh. We don't know what to pray for. Did the 12 know what to pray for? Yeah, he told them what to say. But Jesus Christ didn't tell you what to say. You don't know what to pray for. Well, look on verse 27. And he that searcheth the heart. Well, who searches the heart? Well, hang on there. Come over to Revelation and look in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, notice in verse, Well, I can't find it in chapter 3, can I? 2:23. Verse 23. And I will kill her children with death. It has to do with back in verse 20, Jezebel and her daughters. Look in verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. That's spiritual fornication. And to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Has to do with their religion. And I have, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children, she has daughters, with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches and the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Well, who is he? I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. It's the Lord. Then Jesus Christ, and back in Romans 8, and he, Jesus Christ, searcheth the heart, knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. Come over with me, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Jesus Christ knows what you have need of before you even asked him what you have need of. Jesus Christ knows what's in your heart. He tries the reins of your heart. He understands what's in your heart, and you don't, folks, he makes intercessions for you according to the will of God. You don't know what to pray for as you ought to. In the dispensation of grace, you might ask for something that might hurt you down the road. In the dispensation of grace, you don't know what you need. In the dispensation of grace, you walk by faith, not by sight, trusting the Lord that what he's done for you. You don't know what you need to have. You don't know. He says that Jesus Christ searches your heart. He knows what's in your mind. He knows what you have need of. And he makes intercessions for you. And he never prays that he don't get an answer. Now, let's look at some other things about it. Back in the passage, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Just basic stuff. John 14, verse 11. John 14, 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know, you're sitting in this building right now, you've got common sense, you can walk through the woods without bumping into the trees. Folks, you know that's not a promise that God Almighty made to you. You cannot do works that Jesus Christ did in his earthly ministry, and he didn't say, just do my work. He said, greater works than these. You don't know nobody's ever done that. And if you do, I want to see them. I want to take them down to a pond. I want to see them walk on water. I think about, I seen a guy on there talking about having a big campaign on television, and he was having these sick people. I mean, he's telling people to sit on crutches, wheelchairs, and any way they could get to that camp, that tent, come and get your miracle. And he was up there showing, had power, how to heal these people. People throw down their crutches, get up out of the wheelchair. Are you kidding me? Listen to me. Why would you make sick people come to where you're at? Why don't they go to the hospitals? Why don't they go out in Memphis, Tennessee, out there to St. Jude's Hospital, where them little children are suffering with cancer and how they're dying every day? Why don't they go out there and demonstrate God's power and heal them? I'll tell you why. They're a bunch of shysters and con artists out here. And they're draining people of their money and taking what they've earned and everything. And out here in the name of religion, say, what do you get worked up for? Well, it's time somebody got worked up. It's amazing to me. We live in the time where God Almighty's word is just butchered up. And they say, well, you believe Paul and Paul. I follow Jesus. Well, you know when you hear somebody say that, they're lying through their teeth. Yeah, I know that. You can't follow Jesus in the day we're living in without following what the Apostle Paul has to say. For the doctrine, for the body of Christ is found in the epistles of Paul. People lift up Scofield Reference Bible. Anybody got a Scofield Reference Bible in here? Everybody lifts it up but our crowd. Is there not a Scofield Reference Bible in the house? Is it Scofield? Over in Ephesians chapter 4, the footnote, you'll have to get Jeannie probably to look at it. She don't have her glasses on. Well, look down at the footnote. Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody wants to hold Dr. Scofield up. Does it not say the walk in the destiny of the church is found the doctrine? That's not what I'm after. What, you got an old Scofield? It's in the, under the footnotes. In my Scofield, the walk, the destiny, the doctrine to the body of Christ is found in the epistles of Paul. And only Paul. That's where the mind of Christ is at. We have the mind of Christ. Where is it at? In Paul's epistles. Let's go back to John 14. You don't do greater works. You don't know nobody does greater works than him. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You can't claim that today. There are multitudes of prayers that's been asked by the members of the body of Christ that never got answered. I told you last week, I've prayed for a lot of people that were sick and they end up dying. I've prayed for a lot of things and never received a why. I can't claim that. I don't know how to pray as I ought to. But how does these people, how do they have that power? How do they have the means of asking anything? Because they will be baptized. In fact, before we go, turn to Matthew chapter 3. Why would Jesus Christ tell all of these people these things? In Matthew chapter 3, notice what John the Baptist said. In verse 11. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now in that verse there, in verse 11, you have water baptism, you have baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you have fire baptism. Verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. The garner would be the kingdom. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That will be the baptism of fire. So you got the baptism of fire, you got the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and the baptism of water, all three right there. Why is people say the baptism with the Holy Ghost is the same as being baptized by the Spirit? I want you to see that it's not. Turn with me and look at this thing. Turn to Luke. Folks, while you're there in Matthew, come over to Matthew chapter, let's go to 24. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus Christ goes out of the temple. Verse 1, he goes out and he departs from the temple. Now notice his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. So he's there. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And he begins to list certain things that's going to happen as signs unto them. Verse 6, and ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And if you want to see the earthquakes and the pestilence and the famines, read the book of Revelation. It's not what you have today. It's going to be a totally different thing. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Some will take the mark of the beast, and betray their loved ones that don't take the mark of the beast. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Remember I read to you in Revelation chapter 2 of Jezebel and her children, how that they seduced my servants to commit fornication. There it is, right there. False prophets shall arise, deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? Saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel that Robbie told about, not the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15, not the gospel whereby you're saved today. The gospel whereby you're saved today is that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and God raised him the third day according to the Scripture, and you have nothing to say about it. He did it for you. All you have to do to be saved is receive that. But this gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel of the grace of God. He goes on, he said, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The end of what? Whatever they're enduring, the end of time. He said, look back in the verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be. Well, that's the throwing down of the building. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the world. There'll be a new world after the Lord comes back. I get fascinated when I begin people read the Bible and they think, why are they saying they want to ride horses and horses and all that? Do you honestly think that God's going to leave this world's technology? What do you think the tribulation is for? It's to knock out all of this man and the God of this world, his wisdom and all of man. Wisdom and all of that. Don't you understand, after the tribulation and after the second coming of Christ, there ain't going to be all the smartphones and the computers and the satellites floating around and all this. Folks, it's going back like it was. That stuff come from the God of this world. The Lord uses it. We use it to get His message out. That's why you find that when they cross in there and they're riding horses and going to do battle, they're really riding horses. Why? Their tanks and their planes and all that, they don't have the technology to fly. So I don't believe that. I don't care whether you believe it or not. Don't make no never mind to me. I believe that book. I mean, you take like God Almighty sending lightning bolts and 100-pound hailstones falling out of heaven. Do you honestly think them little things up there is going to withstand all that stuff? Do you honestly believe that whenever He sets everything on and the elements of the fervent heat and all that stuff don't burn up all this stuff? Come on, folks. But look on. He said, this gospel shall be a pre, then shall the end come. The period of time. Verse 15, but ye, therefore, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out. He ain't gonna have time. And in Luke, he says, remember Lot's wife? How she looked back, turned to, she got the wrath. Folks, I'm just trying to get you to, in a mindset. They got some hard times to get through. And they got to endure it to the end. To be saved. So God made provisions for those people. Look what he says in Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, notice what he says. Verse 45. Luke 24, 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. By the way, you look back in verse 44, he said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. That covers the whole Hebrew Bible right there in three categories. And Psalms concerning me, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. From that time on did they understand all the Hebrew Bible? Come on, folks. A little light from the class. Did they understand all of the prophetic program? Did they understand all about the law of Moses? The prophets? The Psalms? Then you can't find what we believe in back there in the Hebrew Bible, can you? Why? It's like Robbie said, it was a mystery. Hid in God. From the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. But look on. He goes on. He opened their understanding. Verse 46. Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Then you can find the sufferings of Christ back there. You can find the resurrection of Christ back there. You can find the betrayal of Christ back there. You can find the prophecy concerning a virgin bringing forth a son. It's back there. You can find all four Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John accounts back there as a man, as a servant, as God. Back there in the Old Testament, the branch. You can find Christ all through there. But you can't find one thing back there that talks about Jesus Christ dying for people like you and me and forgiving them of all their sins. You can't do it. Search it out. But look on. He said, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, unto ye be endued with power from on high. They was to have a promise, and they were to be endued with power from on high. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And folks, this is important for many reasons. Why? There are people today believe that you and I and the body of Christ is going to go through the tribulation period. Well, God never empowered you to go through no tribulation period. Look in Acts chapter 1. Verse 6, when they, the 12, therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Times or seasons has to do with restoration of the kingdom to Israel, which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. They get the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. He comes down in Acts chapter 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it, the sound, filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All 12 of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with Him and to be under His influence, and that you would pray in the will of God. Why? You're under His control. And anything you ask in His name, under His control, under His power, they'll get it. You don't have that feeling. Why? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Look in Acts chapter 10. And by the way, everywhere you see this baptism in the Bible, they're speaking with tongues. And tongues was for a sign. Wasn't for you. And tongues in the Bible's languages. It's not this possum up a gum tree, himashuma and all that stuff that you see about today, hear about it. All that mumbo jumbo stuff, that's just exalting the flesh. Tongues in the Bible was, if a German man came into our assembly or a Spanish-speaking dude came into our assembly and he stood up and he began to speak whatever he's speaking in Spanish, I would say, sir, interpret what you say, and if there's no interpreter, then keep your mouth shut. We don't want to hear it. Well, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If somebody came in and said, I want to give my testimony, where's your interpreter? And if they had an interpreter, then they could stand up and give their testimony and somebody interpret. That's tongues. That's biblical tongues. But you know the fascinating thing about this? When the Holy Ghost come on these men were men that were not learned. They didn't go to a language school. And the Holy Spirit became on, took control of them. And they spoke in them languages fluently because God was speaking through them. But the same crowd today that is doing the tongue talking today, if they go to a foreign mission somewhere and go to be a missionary, you know what they do? They go to language school. Now, isn't that a rip? Why don't they just go and speak in that language? They have that power. Folks, it's a sham. You know that religion today is nothing more than, it's a paper tiger. It's just nothing. It's a bunch of con artists out there. Exalt the flesh. Well, look in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, notice what happens here to this man. And he's my Cornelius. Now notice what happens. Peter finally comes in there. Verse 28, and Peter said unto them, ye know that how that it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He's not a very good soul winner, is he? He said, here I am, I don't know why I'm doing here. It's unlawful for me to be here, but God showed me I can't call you common or unclean. Said, for what intent do you send for me there? Verse 29, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore, what intent ye have sent for me? What am I doing here? Not supposed to be here, but here I am. And Cornelius explains to him. Verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and began to preach to him. Come down with me, let's see. Talking about the baptism there, verse 44, while Peter spake, yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For how they know they got to pour out the gift of the Holy Ghost? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. They spoke in a Hebrew language that them people that came with Peter knew. And they knew they'd got the Holy Ghost. Now, turn over to look in Acts chapter 11. Peter gets called on the carpet. Where are you going to these old Gentiles? You know you're not supposed to do that. And so Peter goes there. Verse 12, the Spirit bade me to go with them. Nothing doubting, moreover these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. So that's why he took the brethren as witnesses. Who shall tell thee the words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And as I began to speak, now watch it, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Where was the beginning? Come on, folks. He told them in Luke, tarry ye in Jerusalem, unto you be what? Endued with power from on high. The Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now watch it. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. What happened in Cornelius' house? They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, like Peter and them was baptized with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. Is there any questions about that? Now, why is all that? Turn to John chapter 1. Folks, John chapter 1, and this verse probably is quoted more, it's quoted a lot. Verse 10, He was in the world, Christ, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many of His own now, but as many as received Him, well, who's them? It'd be His own, wouldn't it? It'd be Israel. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Folks, God didn't give you power to become a son of God. These people that received Him got the power to get through the tribulation so that they will be saved in the end. Do y'all see that? How is they to get become a son of God? Whosoever endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. This is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. When do they get their sins taken away? When the deliverer shall come out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. They get their sins taken away at the second coming of Christ. That's their day of atonement. That's when they become the sons of God. But they got to go through the tribulation. And they have to have power. Why? Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Folks, God promised them whatsoever they asked, He'd do it. Why? They'd be under the power of the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't ask amiss. They wouldn't ask nothing to consume it on their own lust. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let them. In Mark chapter 16, notice what He said. Verse 15, And He said unto them, Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, whether he was baptized or not, if he didn't believe. But if he didn't believe, chances are he wouldn't get baptized. Look what He said. Verse 16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now watch it. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not follow them that preach. These signs shall follow them that believe. Believe what? The gospel that is being preached. What gospel is it? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Then the end shall come. It ain't got nothing to do with the gospel that's preached today. But look on, He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Everyone that believes, these signs is going to follow them that believe. Will they speak with tongues? Check it out, everybody that got the baptism with the Spirit in the book of Acts, that is recorded, they spoke with tongues, and there was miracles going on around about them. Well, it ain't that way today. I mean, men want it to be that way. He goes on, He said, In Thy name they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues. Now watch it. And they shall take up serpents. And that's where you snake handlers come in there. I read about that 42-year-old guy from Kentucky was on that reality show, Snake Salvation or something like that. Me and June sat there and watched him. He'd get in there and he'd get the drums a-going. They took the cameras into the service. Them people get in there and the drums get to going and the beat gets to going and the guy's playing the electric get tires and guitar, that's what they were, tires or something, and they were jumping around there and homicide this and homicide that and toss them up a gum tree and don't kick the cat and all this stuff, and all of a sudden he'd get over and he'd got that rattlesnake out of that box, you know. Now I'd be just like that old guy had that song, somebody pulls a snake out and there ain't no door that I can get out of. I'd say, where do you want me to make one? And jump around and look at that snake there. And he believed that the anointing of God was on him. And worked himself up in some tizzy, and the flesh, exalt the flesh, like I've got such and such power with God. You never see him do that next sentence, do you? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I've never seen nobody take arsenic, or never seen nobody take cyanide, mix it in water, never seen nothing like that, and have them say, I got the power of God, and drink it. You know what happened to them? Same thing that happened to that guy. At the end of the show, it said in February 14th this year, he was performing his ritual in his service, and that big old rattlesnake nailed him. And he wouldn't go get treatment because he said he had the anointing of God. You know what happened to him? He died. Do you know why these verses is here, folks? I'm trying to get people to understand all the Bible's for us, but it's not all to us to live by in the dispensation of grace. There are some things God put in this Bible that never was intended for you. And this is one of them. Said, drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Not like you see today. I seen that guy, same guy, on the heel somebody, and pull this woman up out of a wheelchair, and her legs are wobbling, and she's doing little babies, and said, you know what he said? Well, you just keep going, honey, you'll get stronger as the days go on. My God ain't a weak God like that. You think if the Lord Almighty pulled that woman up, she'd stand there and have legs stronger than she had anybody in here? Amazing. So why is this? Turn to Revelation chapter 13 and I'm going to close. Revelation chapter 13. People, I believe this Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it. I believe the King James is the Word of Almighty God. You can put your faith on it, you can put your belief in it. It fits like a glove. I'm not trying to run down people. I'm just trying to get you to see there's a bunch of false teachers and doctrines going on out there that's deceiving people. And them people think they're going to heaven. And they're going to die and end up in the lake of fire because they've been deceived by a bunch of preachers. Paul said, if you receive another Jesus whom I've not preached, or another spirit, or another gospel, you might well bear with, don't give in to them. There are men out there days preaching other Jesuses and other gospels. And they're perverting the gospel of Christ. They're telling people that Christ died for their sins and then turn right around and say, if you'll repent of your sins, God will save you. You got to turn from them. You got to do this. You got to give it up. And if you give up and you just lay them at the altar, God will save you. I want to tell you right now, God Almighty will save you as you are. And if you have to give up something, He ain't going to touch you. Because you know why? You'll say, He saved me because I give it up. And that's a work. If you have to do as much as wiggle your little finger, God won't have nothing to do with you. But if you'll simply just trust in what He did for you on that cross, I believe He died for my sins. I'm putting my faith and trust in that. God will save you. And He'll give you power. But it'll be power of the gospel, power of the Word of God. He said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. And that Word works through us. But look in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. In verse 15, He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. If you don't have that mark or the name or the number of his name, can you buy or sell? Turn back to 1 John and look in 1 John. 1 John, notice this thing. In 1 John, chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time, as you've heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, ye know all things. Who is a liar, but he, verse 22, denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Look with me, verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, like in Revelation chapter 2. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. That anointing is with the baptism with the Spirit under His form. Chapter 3, look in chapter 3, verse 17. But whosoever hath this world good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God? They're not going to be able to buy or sell. They're going to have to help one another, and they're going to have to commune and go together and have all things common, like in Acts. They sold everything they had, and they parted to every man according to his has need. And during the tribulation, they're not going to have doctors. Look in chapter 5. In chapter 5 and verse 16, if any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. What is that sin unto death? That's taking the mark of the beast, folks. You take the mark of the beast, you're going to die. You're going to end up in the lake of fire. There ain't no going back. If you don't, you got to endure the most horrible time on this face of this planet that's ever been. And they're not going to be able to buy or sell. So God empowers them to become the sons of God. They'll have power to heal one another. It'll be out there in the deserts where the scorpions and the poisonous snakes are. And if they get bit, they're not going to have to worry. They can't run to the doctor and get antivenom. They'll have to rely on the Lord and He'll heal them. If they're out there and they have, the water's going to be poison. You read about that in Revelation. There's going to be worm will hit the rivers and the streams, and men's going to die because the water's poison. They'll be able to drink it, don't you understand? Through through their faith and their power. Look what he says there in chapter 5. He says there in verse, let's see. Well, I don't have time to read all of it, but in chapter 5 he says there in verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? They're going to have that faith that endured unto the end. And that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. It's not falling away from God through unbelief. Getting to the end. But folks, Jesus Christ overcome it all for you. Don't you understand? He was made a curse for you. He bore the wrath of God for you. He done it all for you. And for God to judge you as a member of the body of Christ, He'd be judging His own Son again. We'll be saved from wrath through Him. Well, I don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. I don't have to worry about going through tribulation. I asked one guy, he's talking about going through tribulation. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. You believe in eternal security? He said, sure I do. I said, you get in tribulation, you're going to take the mark of the beast? He said, whoa. I said, I thought you believed in eternal security. Are you going to take the mark of the beast so you can buy and sell? Oh, I'd be afraid to do that. Then you don't believe in eternal security. You say, well, what will you do? If I have to end up in a trib, I'm taking the mark of the beast so I can enjoy myself and go on through till the Lord comes. I'm sealed. Don't you understand? I'm in Christ. I believe in eternal security. Amen. I got to put on the brakes, folks. This train just won't stop. You know, just I got 55, 60 boxcars full of information. I'm trying to dump them all at one time. Come back next week. May the Lord bless you. Shake hands.